KWVA, Campus Radio, 88.1 FM, Eugene's finest college radio.
Wake up with a hangover every Sunday morning. Listen to the Sunday Morning Hangover Sundays between 8 and 10 a.m. Experience a hangover like you've never had before. The best in exotica, voodoo, lounge, and eclectic retro. Also, hangover cures, stolen songs, stupid records, and bizarre children's music. Join me, the Reverend Mark Time, every Sunday morning, 8 to 10, for the Sunday Morning Hangover, right here on KWVA Eugene.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large. It's Anarchy Radio for July 3rd. And last week, Catherine was down here from Portland, my remarkable cousin. But we didn't have any internet streaming thing because it was some sort of protest day, right? It was, what was
that's
that?
That's right. It was the day of internet radio silence.
Yes.
But the internet radio is back for the time being. That's right.
Maybe that was an effective protest. Various people said they didn't quite understand, including me. But anyway, it was a late inning surprise. But thanks to a friend here in town who recorded it from his radio, that'll be available probably later tonight. It'll be converted and uploaded to archive.org.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah, it's thanks going smoothly.
As we speak. That's great, yeah. Carl is taking care of it at this end. So go to archive.org. And tomorrow, barring some unforeseen stuff, this show... we'll be there too. Well, yeah, Catherine and I talked about the tour and our crazy rush around Europe and the discussion of the very deep roots of this crisis of industrial society, mass society, and the need to dismantle it all, and the whole civilization and its discontents kind of thing, and it involves so many people. Anyway, we may pursue that. We may talk about it some more later at some point. I think that'd be fun. And so for now, kwvaradio.org is doing its thing, and you can call 541-346-0645. It's good to know that some people noticed that the show wasn't archived. Got some emails. And thank you also to Eileen for the zines, and thanks to Herb in Tampa for the stories. Sometimes I get behind on stuff, but I sure appreciate the connection, the feedback. Okay, well, we got some announcements. Due to a family emergency, Jonathan Paul's sentencing is going to happen on the 1st of August, on Wednesday, August 1. And this is, of course, toward the very end of the Green Scare / Operation Backfire prosecutions. He was granted a delay on that, and that whole thing is subject to scrutiny to a defense motion or defense argument that the sentence that was proposed last month was too much. Any sentence is too much, but so we'll see what happens, presumably on the 1st. And we'll get particulars about that, but that would be at the new federal building here in Eugene on Wednesday morning, presumably. Okay, well, let's see. There are various gatherings in the news. This is certainly the season for that. And just to mention a few, there's a Copwatch conference down in Oakland at Laney College, the first international Copwatch conference, July 13th to the 15th. And, boy, there's a whole bunch of them. I can't get to all of them here. But there's also, there's an anarchist summer camp July 20th to the 29th in Austria. Don't know too much about that, but it looks like it's pretty well organized and will encompass a lot of different things and probably quite a few people. Crime Think Convergence will be happening July 26th through the 31st in Athens, Ohio. And I noticed, you know, there are all these distinctions that sometimes convey something political, and I guess it's possible to read a bunch of stuff into them. I don't want to get too carried away with it. But I noticed there's a whole lot of things listed here, various workshops and different discussions and features to this Crime Think meeting, which will be going on for 6 days, as I say, later this month. One of the things is called anti-capitalist survival skills. I guess that would be as opposed to primitivist skills or something like that, earth skills or whatever you call it. It turns out what they mean by that, and I'm not putting it down, but it's, you know, that's kind of in the air, survival skills. But this has to do with skill shares in terms of communication, I don't know, use of cell phones or something. I'm not too sure what that is. And affinity groups. And that's certainly a skill. That's one way to put it. So, okay. And, well, if you happen to be in Oporto, Portugal on Friday evening, this is, can't resist telling you about this in the evening. This is Friday, actually. There's going to be a kind of a debate or a conference which has to do with the appearance of Futuro Primitivo. My book has just come out in Portuguese, and there's going to be some people convening a kind of forum or something like that. Wish I could be there. And I just found out about this. This is also today's news. This is the... You could check this out, and you would know about as much as I do if you go to the Congress of Planetary Initiatives, Congress 2000, but if you just Google anything like that, Congress of Planetary Initiatives, which will be held in late August near Salt Lake City. This is a global conversation. It is so described, and it's been at least a year or so in the making, and I just got the word about the different panels. This is pretty ambitious. They've been putting this together. It is so incredibly international. That much is clear. If you look at the lineup, this panel allocations announcement that just came out, you can see that much impressive. People from every part of the world. And I am going to be on the one, panel 6, entitled Ecology, Nature, and Other Species. The theme is nature, ecology, and environment. The moderator is Vandana Shiva from India. And also on the panel besides myself is Yared Fubosa from Tanzania and Tewolda Exiabar. I'm probably mangling that. Exiabar from Ethiopia. And they're just people from everywhere. I'm looking down the list at some of these other panels. Germany, Bhutan, Peru, France, China, Mali, Malaysia, New Zealand, China. I mean, it's quite something. And they've got a very packed schedule. This looks like this could be highly interesting. I can't wait. I've always wanted to meet Vandana Shiva. And there's all kinds of... Like I said, you can go there and check it out. There are 14 panels in all. Quite a few native folks from North America and the U.S. as part of North America being a part of that. Some of the news, just a couple of things. In Greece, a small homemade bomb exploded outside a Thessaloniki office of the Greek governing conservative party yesterday, causing minor damage. It damaged the front door and some furniture. And also, Monday, a group of youths attacked the offices of a Greek insurance company and adjacent conference center. Police said about 20 people wielding sledgehammers damaged the entrances to the two buildings. Let's see. More militant action in Greece. And here's your ALF topic of the week, we could say. This is from the U.S. This is just posted, I think, a day or so ago, but it's this happened a little more than a week ago. 1:30 a.m. on the 24th of June, 1 gallon of fuel was placed and set alight under the right front corner of Arthur Rosenbaum's large, white, shiny BMW. He and his wife Sandy, living at 465 Loring Avenue in Los Angeles, are the targets of rebellion for the vile and evil things he does to primates at UCLA. We have seen by our own eyes the torture on fully conscious primates in his lab. We have heard their whimpers and screeches of pain. Seeing this drove one of us to rush out and vomit. We have seen hell, and it's in Rosenbaum's lab. Demonstrators need to realize that just demonstrating won't stop this kind of evil. Look up Arthur Rosenbaum to find out about his experiments. from 2004 through 2007, signed Animal Liberation Brigade. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, here's something I'm going to stick in here. Something came in the mail to Green Anarchy. I found it kind of moving. Prisoner in Missouri sent us his whole month's pay, $9.23, I believe it is. He gets something like, I can't remember now, but 7 cents an hour or something. So, this is pretty darn nice, pretty touching. He really appreciates receiving Green Anarchy magazine, and like I said, sent us his whole month's pay. So, you probably have more money than that. And you can send it to Green Anarchy, but no, we can't say to do that. Carl is licking askance. Cannot. Do not. I'm just saying what happened here. You know, you can draw conclusions or non-conclusions. Okay. 3460645. Maybe now that the stream is happening, or locally,
the
whatever.
The stream is happening.
It is happening.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thank you. Looking very good?
Yeah, it looks great. The levels, they're jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're looking at the screen over here to see that? I see. I'll take your word for it.
Oh, there they are. Look at those. Look at those levels.
As we speak, they just hop around?
On delay.
On delay? Yeah. Oh, the six-second delay?
Yeah.
Ah.
So if you were to shout into the microphone right now, I would be able to see that in 8 seconds.
And if somebody called and used the bad words, then they could be...
We have 8 seconds to get rid of them.
Okay. Let that be a little warning to you. Well, one thing I want to get to before the break. This is nothing real new, but it seems to be worth talking about it, I would say. I was noticing on anarchistnews.org, why is there a lull, Ray, anarchism? This has been, a perennial thing for a little while here. Kind of interesting. And I want to bring in a few things that might be relevant, that might speak to that, or at least, I don't know, maybe there's a lull. What kind of a lull? One of the things I notice here, this is from infoshop.org. I was reading this late last week. Why anarchists should support the new SDS. This is part of the lull, in my view. It talks about SDS as a popular front and as a coalition and this and that. Some have written SDS, the newly revived, you know, they've kind of pulled it up out of the grave, and it seems to be booming in some places, whatever that means. But some, according to this post here from Anonymous, have written it off as a relic, a rehash of old ideas and filled with socialists and communists. Well, I don't think you can fill much with socialists and communists these days. The thing is, there's a lot of anarchists out there, and this is an this particular message is arguing that, oh, what a great idea, instead of looking at it as kind of a horrible stew of leftism. Of course, it needs anarchists, and unfortunately, it's not too remarkable, it's not too much of a surprise that anarchists kind of, insofar as they're part of the left, lots of anarchists are there, and this is the whole question. I mean, the SDS folks, they see anarchists everywhere, and not just black bloc types, but all kinds of stuff. I mean, what happened to the socialists and the communists? You know, I guess you could find an incarnation on, antipolitics.org, to keep mentioning the internet. In their online discussions, also known as the Commie Channel. But this is what's going on, and it's, I don't know. I don't know why. What is the draw? What is the point of that? Is it just some name, and that's reason enough to people this return to Students for a Democratic Society? I'm not too sure. Maybe somebody would like to weigh in. I just don't see it. It's just kind of another way to try to resuscitate what really went down in flames. Well, not even flames. What went down in terms of boorishness, you could say, just dumbness in the 60s, you know, it was taken over by Marxist-Leninists. I mean, what, that speaks pretty loudly in itself. Or you could see, you know, I'm fond of talking about these people that are, that gravitate toward the formal setups of different organizations and federations. There's a never-ending supply by not very many people, I guess, but well, here's something related. This was this is a fairly recent thing. Talking about the Ottawa Anarchist Assembly, the Ottawa area, and as a way to organize the anarchist projects up there, of course they need some overarching structure, and it talks about different things, what who might be a part of it and so forth, and then it says, here's the windup: our one priority will be to give the organizing committee a clear mandate for the next anarchist assembly. The assembly needs a clear mandate. I mean, that just sounds like centralization and bureaucratization. Why would you need to go through some anarchist assembly? Isn't that some kind of worn out democracy idea or something? What, I just don't see that. I mean, what are the things that you want to do? What, where's the autonomy? I mean, communication is great, but one more effort to this, to have this old stuff. And, you know, or you could look at, in terms of things going nowhere, last weekend, it's surprisingly little heard about this, the U.S. Social Forum, there was over this, yeah, over last weekend it was, with their usual Another World is Possible kind of thing, supposedly 10,000 civil society activists, and there you go, civil society, which means mass society, industrial society, it's precisely where they're at. And I suppose there were anarchists there too. Well, lots of things under this heading. No More Punk Planet, that was kind of a lefty punk zine that went under. Kind of progressive, I guess you'd say. If you look at the Brand New Earth First, this is the July-August issue, it's kind of getting thinner all the time, and they've announced they're going back to their... they're going away from the magazine format back to the tabloid format, and they've kind of hinted that they may be almost ready to throw in the towel. They don't have the money to do even a, well, it's a 48-pager, but, you know, there's not a whole lot going on here. It just doesn't seem to have too much fire or too much of an idea of what they're doing. There's some news, and my favorite piece in here is called Fun with Diesel Engines. This is a two-page article by Hey Duke. There's a disclaimer. Needless to say, we do not encourage anyone to hurt our precious giant earth-destroying machines. Please stay at home and buy the largest TV you can put on credit at the local Walmart or rental center, and it shows all these things about what to do with the air filter and the oil and the grease points. Just, it sounds pretty simple. Yeah, fun suggestions for playing with heavy machinery will continue in the future issues. Okie dokie.
That's what they ought to devote the whole thing to.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. And here we go. This is a continuing source of humor. The brand new summer catalog for AK Press has come out. They say, this is kind of repetitive here. We don't have a problem spreading the ideas of people with whom we don't always see eye to eye. No idea is so infallible that it can't be examined, questioned, and debated. Yeah, once again, that's why they refuse to carry Green Anarchy magazine or Species Trader, and they continue to pump out this boring stuff that certainly contributes to the lull. Yeah, that lull, like, well, there's still these relics that continue, and it just gets more dull and irrelevant. Here's a good one from Humboldt County, Northern California. Don't miss the first ever deep democracy retreat in Humboldt County. Community organizing for deep democracy. Yeah, that's somehow different from the usual political racket. And of course, it isn't. Well, and this is not just confined to the U.S. Here's more. If you needed some further extension of a very common story going on in South America, this didn't get quite as much attention as some of the other ones because Uruguay is a very small country. But there was a post from Upside Down World that I was reading just today, how one of Latin America's most radical progressive coalitions finally achieved their country's presidency, and how those at the helm are now turning their backs on their radical base. Now, that doesn't happen every time, or does it? Yeah, they hosted a visit from Bush in March, and after promising profusely that they weren't going to pay their external debt, this leftist government is now paying their IMF debt in advance. They're paying it even faster than I guess the neoliberal characters are, or used to before they were voted out. And I guess I cannot avoid going to the EZLN business again. The encounter number two, and count the number of capital letters here. Actually, there are 16. Second encounter of the Zapatista peoples with the people of the world, communique of the Indigenous Revolutionary Clandestine Committee, General Command of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. Yeah, that has that fresh feel of top-heavy stuff, doesn't it? And now, more and more, I think this is just flat-out unmistakable. Now they're framing this entire thing, this whole thing that's going to be coming up this month, as a struggle against neoliberalism. That's it? Struggle against neoliberalism? Every leftist in the world, that's as far as they go. Of course, they don't even go that far, but that's the extent of what they are promoting. And under that heading, corollary or secondarily, the construction of autonomy in the Zapatista indigenous communities of Chiapas. So autonomy has to be constructed by the EZLN. And part of that, a very big feature of that, is 4 years now of the good government councils. And this is called Via Campesina in particular, that part of constructing autonomy. And they list 19 people, compañeros or compañeras of Via Campesina, that have confirmed their attendance are, and they list all these people, and every single one of them is a coordinator, a national coordinator, a president, a leader, a coordinator, a leader. It's just announcing its top-down bureaucratic thing. It's not even hiding it. This is what they draw attention to. Usually it's done with a little bit more slickness or aplomb. You talk about the rank and file, which actually is a kind of ugly term when you think about it, by rank and by file. But anyway, now they glory in all of these people with their titles and heads of whatever. Well, heads of all kinds of stuff, and I don't know what these groups are. I'm not pretending I do, but the Latin American Coordination of Organizations of Countryside, the National Coalition of Internal Relations, Peasant League of Madagascar, the leader of the National Agricultural Union, leaders of the Continental Commission of Indigenous Peoples and Nationalities. I really wonder whether Indigenous people are really that into these NGO civil society groups and their leaders. Okay, let's see. Let's take a break. Let's take a little musical break. We'll be right back. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWBA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large. Okay. We're back. You know, last week I mentioned the spate of parents killing their families and in themselves. There was another one in Yonkers, New York on Friday. Well, it was a murder-suicide of parents. It didn't involve children, actually. Well, I'm hoping that there will be, bring in some guests. I think that's a good idea, and I think that will be happening from time to time fairly soon. Well, I wanted to mention some films. DeadSociety.org, that's the name of a film, Dead Society from Sweden. Adventures of a Speck of Dust, a very short film, and Catherine and I used this in Europe often at the beginning of some of these events, some of these sessions. And you can go to my website at the bottom of the first page of the website, which is simply johnzerzan.net. Very interesting. Very short film, it's only 6 or 7 minutes. Another one is Robo Tao, and I think that's YouTube. You can see that. Another very short one. And this one, fortunately, this has gotten some pretty good publicity lately. This is called 10 Canoes by Rolf de Heer. It's about Australian Aboriginal life centuries ago, and it features the Raminging Aboriginal people of Australia. De Heer is a Dutch-born Australian and who's closely collaborated with Aboriginal people there. I've only heard good things about it, but I haven't seen it yet. It seems like there are some highly interesting video creations, film work going on. Getting back to the LOL theme, however, this just came, Hobnail Review number 9 from London. The longest, this is kind of a slight magazine, longest thing in here is about the Newcastle, the 3rd Annual International Anarchist Film Festival. Funny thing is, it doesn't mention any films. It mentions one, it doesn't discuss it, doesn't even say... Didn't say anything about it. That's the that is a Sakwan Zeddy film. It's not even identified any more particularly than that. So yeah, I don't know what that is all about. I think it's not happening. That isn't happening among your traditional anarchists any more than it is among the other leftists. Well, here we have it. Here we have it, Carl. This is the ad of the week. This is the two-pager. Carl is salivating. Check this out. I'm trying to open this up. Yeah, two pages, and it's from Sprint. Sprint Ahead. And as I was mentioning, this is probably a sort of answer to Apple's iPhone that was unveiled at the end of last week. It's just giant. Speed is beautiful, and it has this sort of swoosh kind of thing. It's not especially graphically great or anything, but you're alive. Great timing. It's. I'm not going to read this whole thing. It's kind of a rhapsody to high tech, and their stuff in particular, although it doesn't get into any specifics, but it's talking about, you know, that you can carry all this around, you know, all these devices, the latest stuff. Nothing, doesn't talk about a particular product, but, you know, you can carry this screen, this magic screen in your pocket, and you can have music and pictures and stories and make calls and the whole thing. And we call this magic sprint speed in capital letters. Here's the punchline. It means you can get more of the things you want faster than any time in the history of the world.
Wow.
Wonder what that is. Wonder what that more really is there. Yeah, great timing that you're alive now and you can buy this stuff. And there's more than enough for everyone. Do you think that's so? Gee.
I don't.
No, you don't think so. It's probably not sustainable either, huh? Although, I don't know why they're not saying that it is.
But it's beautiful.
It is.
But it's
yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's magical. And yeah, it's just something. I mean, it means you can get more of the things you want faster than at, it should be, there should be an at in there, than at any time in the history of the world. Wow. Yeah, they're...
Gosh, even the language is breaking down.
It is. They can't even...
Can't even get the grammar right.
I know. How much did they spend on that? Two full pages, and they didn't... And it's like 100 words of text, and they... Yeah, illiteracy. More of the illiteracy that you want faster, maybe, I guess, huh? Well, let's see. Yeah, the... Oh, this is a... This was in the New York Times last Thursday. Not sure what the point of it is, but lots of articles about, well, not only the iPhone, but the Apple iPod and everything else. The more and more space is occupied for the obvious reasons that it occupies more of people's lives. And they talk about the iPod. It says, this is an article by Hal Varian. What about the 451 parts that go into the iPod? Where are they made and by whom? Well, exactly. That doesn't go on to talk about that. It doesn't at all. It talks about how much they cost and stuff, but who is it that's laboring away and in toxic conditions in the third world and so on? It refers very vaguely to the complexity of the global economy. There's a nice euphemism. Yep. And if you want all this stuff, you're going to have to figure out how to get those 451 parts, and the different synthetic elements and so forth. Yeah, it poses a very interesting question, only to kind of completely wander away from it. Yeah, it's a valuable product, but it doesn't address the question that it posed. Well, I don't know if this is related. I don't think it is. I don't think it could be. But the United Nations, one more UN study here, points to the desertification that's happening on every continent, actually, as the potentially environmental, the environmental crisis of global proportions, this degradation of land. I guess maybe that has something to do with where the 451 parts come from, do you suppose? And right up above it, this is Thursday's paper, coincidentally, right on top of that, UN study finds that 5 billion people will live in cities and towns by the year 2030. Yeah, how did that happen? It's not all related, I'm sure it's not. You know, this, you could, seems like there's been a lot about Africa. Among other things. There's been stories here about a new federal program in Australia. Australia's federal government and its plan to protect Aboriginal children in the Northern Territory from abuse, but critics call it paternalistic, culturally insensitive, and short-sighted. Talking about, or what we should be talking about, is destroying their life world. Then you have these things. Maybe leaving them alone entirely would be the answer, but no, that's not part of the program. But a bunch of stuff about Africa. And again, we need more, really more of what causes the problems in the first place. There was a letter here in the Times the other day about the Congo. Of course, you could just pick one. You could pick Darfur, which has been an incredible crisis for 4 years now, and various countries, Sierra Leone, Rwanda, so on. It's about time that the world paid attention. The world paying attention is the reason this is happening. I mean, that's just the stark, basic thing. what is going on here? What is the impact on people in Africa, for example? And of course, climate change is another thing that's wreaking havoc on subsistence farming and everything else. I should think that's somewhat well known by now. I'm not going to go through the ABCs on that. Here's one along these lines. This is a study. This is released just the other day about what's going to happen in Alaska because of severe climate change that is predicted more and more specifically. And this talks about, well, it just opens up. This is a piece by William Yardley. Many of Alaska's roads, runways, railroads, and water and sewer systems are endangered, and it'll be a gigantic cost to maintain these, to recover these. How about these not even happening in the first place? Because that doesn't come around. All of this stuff is just a part and parcel of modernity, of mass society, of the globalizing machine. Roads, runways, railroads. Yeah, how are we going to save these things? That's the idea. Yeah, well, spending billions to save these things, which are so much at the heart of the very problem. And you could also include the water and sewer systems. This is a function of mass society. This is what you have. And that isn't the biggest thing that's being endangered, in my opinion. I ran across this just today, as a matter of fact. Yeats, this is a line in a Yeats poem, The Stolen Child, William Butler Yeats, a line about a world more full of weeping than you can understand. That line just stands up by itself, I think. And the grid is changing, as a little piece here I notice. Corinth, which is about 3.5 hours north of New York City. This is something also from the New York Times, in case you hadn't guessed. How the grid is changing the flavor of the village. Because it's all wired, because it's all Wi-Fi and so forth. I guess it sort of became like everywhere else. And somebody else asks, how will it be different from the place we drove 3.5 hours to get away from? Yeah, that's part of the monoculture. Anywhere you look, the movement of that. And speaking of New York, this was not giant news. This was last Wednesday. There was a power failure affecting parts of Manhattan, parts of the Upper East Side and the Bronx, actually, as well. No electricity, only about an hour. It says, the headline is, a power failure short-lived, but long enough to unsettle New Yorkers. Just before the evening rush, subways slow and air conditioners die. Still June. This was last week. A reminder all about cities. But some people can't get enough of all the wonders, the cornucopia of modernity. This is a piece from the current issue of In These Times, which I thought was kind of interesting, the July issue. Genetic Disorder, in the subtitle by Dana Goldstein. And the subtitle is, Parents with Limited Incomes Are Being Denied Access to Genetic Tests, etc. We've got to have more technology, even though, really, at the same time, a little bit of irony, this whole thing about genes, the genome project and all that, there's apparently very disturbing or disappointing news for the people that want genetic engineering, that there is no simple course. There is no simple route by which genes determine things. It's very complex. It's very tangled, just like any other ecosystem. And so all of the billions, all of this promise of, the Human Genome Project, for one, is probably a false promise. But the leftists that In These Times just want want access. What about the poor? Just like they said in the 80s and 90s, everybody, what about the poor? They don't get computers. Well, another question is, what is the toll of computers? And it's more like none shall escape rather than we are not going to get to have one. Here's an interesting finding about domestication. You know, the dating, the origins type stuff in terms of the beginnings of civilization or the beginnings of domestication more precisely here, constantly being pushed back. And there's quite a finding about domesticated squash that was found in northern Peru. Actually, it's about almost exactly 10,000 years old, or about twice the age of previously discovered domesticated crops in Latin America. And this puts it as early, really, as domestication and farming developing in the Middle East. And this was in, the current issue of the journal Science. And one of the key people on this team that unveiled this study said agriculture played a more important and earlier role in the development of Andean civilization than previously understood. And goes on to talk about not only that this is earlier, but the key role, not that this is new in general or anything, but in terms of organized political society and hierarchical, stratified, complex life, complex society, complexity. Kind of interesting that now it connects even more firmly in terms of the operative thing. And at the same time, there's still more about the alarming disappearance of honeybees across the country. Honeybees are vanishing, and there's still an outflow of articles. There's one in the current issue of Discover magazine that really focuses on domestication. Bees in the wild are under serious threat from agriculture. These big giant monocultures pretty much hammer the bee habitat. And actually, somebody from Oregon here, Mace Vaughn, an entomologist from the Xerces Society in Portland, says if you go from the foothills of the Coast Range in California and go out into the heart of the Central Valley, the bee diversity and abundance just steadily drops off. The key thing is the relationship to nature, the domestication effect is really at the heart of it. It's also a lot of things, cell phone towers perhaps, genetically modified crops, pesticides, and so on. But even more fundamental is, there's a good piece in The Ecologist, the current issue of The Ecologist from UK about that the massive failure of honeybees' immune systems is intimately connected to domestication. And more of that is painting a worsening picture, is the general idea. Okay, we don't have a whole lot of time, but just a word about philosophy. This is just a very quick word. This is really something. I guess this isn't surprising in a postmodern culture, in Anna Nicole Smith and Paris Hilton culture and everything else here. Here's a new book called You Two and Philosophy, and it actually takes seriously the band U2 in terms of philosophical meaning or some kind of serious thought. It's just really quite incredible. But in a way, it isn't, because you can see strange evidence all over the place. Here's a brand new book called The State of the Real, Aesthetics in the Digital Age. And it has a lot of people, this is all about multimedia cultural stuff and the high-tech art scene and so forth. And put on the cover here, in kind of bold, is with the contribution by Slavoj Žižek. Of course, Žižek is the hot philosopher number right now. has nothing, this article has absolutely nothing to do with aesthetics. It doesn't really have anything to do with the digital age, for that matter. But he's so hot that they wanted to stick it in here. The only thing that's even remotely close to the topic of the book is the name of his article, which is Science of Appearances, Politics of the Real. And this guy is just, yeah, I didn't think it was possible for postmodernism to produce any more impoverished results. But Zizek was not only for years a pimp for the ruling centrist party of Slovenia, he's a Marxist-Leninist. Really unbelievable. And there he is with featured, just there was no excuse for sticking him in there except that he's kind of a hot item, bizarrely enough. Bizarrely indeed. Well, I guess we're gonna plug in some music and run on out of here as soon as Carl gets back. One more thing from yesterday's paper. Scientists have discovered, you might have seen this in the local paper, a biological switch by which stress can promote obesity. Chronically stressed animals, and when they're eating the equivalent of a junk food diet, the impact is even worse. And this article actually goes on in an interesting way to talk about the what they call the uncontrollable stress right now in societies around the globe. So it's not just the processed food, the junk food, the crap food that's proliferating everywhere, but of course so is the stress, and the combination is really toxic. But you know, this opens the door about chronic stress and the nature of the whole thing. Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we're going to go out with some more music from the Baraka soundtrack.